Good morning. Welcome you here this morning, and grateful to the Lord for marvelous weather this past week, and hope you had a good spring break if you took any time out to be with family or just to relax. We are going to be giving you a few announcements. I encourage you, read your bulletin. I usually say that last, but I would say it at the beginning and then at the end. As well, there are details regarding most of what we'll mention. We do have church conference tonight at 5:30. Encourage you to be there. There is a Brotherhood breakfast and devotion this coming Saturday, March the 26th, at the Student Ministries building across the street. 8 in the morning, all men, boys, bring your sons. We'd love to have as many as possible. And then there's a ladies' luncheon also next Sunday afternoon, March 27th. Today is the deadline to RSVP for the meal. And let Courtney Ritter know if you plan to attend. You'll have to contact her at home. I understand she's ill today, but please contact her and let her know. Operation Christmas Child continues to be ongoing. And there was a group in the fellowship hall this past week doing some things in preparation, and we encourage you to continue to be mindful of that. The Annie Armstrong offering is still being taken up, and there is an advertisement, a display out in the foyer for that as well. I received an email from the Texas Baptist Men regarding your desire, perhaps, to help with the Ukrainian refugees, the effort going on there to minister to those refugees that are trying to get out with their lives. The Texas Baptist Men are engaged there, taking food, donations for those. If you'd like to go on a trip, just go to the Texas Baptist Men website, and you'll be able to find details on all of that. Also, the Samaritan's Purse has their efforts as well, and those are two very dependable organizations that you can connect with in order to be a part of helping with that cause as well. So, again, read your bulletin. We do have a substitute music leader this morning. Very able Brother Joe McClanahan will be leading us in a moment. I invite Mr. Lambert to come and pray this morning, Brother Lambert, to lead us in our invocation. And so he will come at this time.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this gorgeous day. Day that you've given us, you've given it to us perfect. Let us not destroy that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for your presence in this church. Heavenly Father, I pray for those that aren't with us today. I pray, Lord, that those that are traveling, that you grant them traveling grace. I pray, Lord, for those that may be ill. We pray for their healing. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak through Brother Robert and that he brings a message that would move this church. And if there's someone here, if there's someone present today that needs to hear that message, that the Holy Spirit would work in their heart, and today may be a great day of celebration for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for the blessing of the Roman's grandchild. What a wonderful thing, a new life that's come into this world. And I pray, Lord, that this world is worthy of that child. Heavenly Father, it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Our primary focus is to praise God. We want to bring him glory, for he is worthy of all the glory. And as we look to the last Psalm 150, it talks about praising the Lord. That's what we are doing. And it talks about where we will do it, why we will do it, and ways that we will do it. It says, praise to the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. And the ways that we can praise God are so many and more. With the trumpet, with the harp, with the tambourine, with dancing, with strings and flute, and with the crash of cymbals, resounding cymbals. And the who is, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to do that this morning. And if you would join us in standing, we're going to be singing. If you're using the hymnal, it's page 14. We're going to do the first, third, and fourth verse. It should be on the screen, I'm thinking. Amen. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Praise Him in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely His goodness and mercy here daily attend thee.
As we continue our praise, the constancy of the Lord is just what we can place our weight down upon. He has promised, but He has fulfilled, and He will. And great is thy faithfulness, number 5-4, we're going to sing first and last. 54.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassion. They fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Great is thy faithfulness. grace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Sing it. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need, did thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. Amen. We're going to sing number 247, and we're going to sing all four verses. This is a song about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that we depend upon. And in the final verse, the ushers will come. So let's sing together. Come, thou almighty King.
Come, thou almighty.
Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity to be in your house today. We just ask that you would lead us in this service. Just be with Brother Robert as he brings the message. Father, we ask that you be with our situation in this world, that we would look to you for our example of loving, kindness, forgiveness. We ask, Father, that you be with our church. Just let us seek your will. Father, we ask that you would take these tithes and offerings and use them to the furtherance of your kingdom. Forgive us, Lord, for all the ways we've failed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. number 294. We've been singing about praising God, and we have done that with our first three hymns. This next song is our testimony to what God has so gloriously done in the life of the believer. Number 546, we will sing those verses. Love lifted me. If you want to join us standing, you may. If you want to sit, that's fine too.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. Live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me. Love. Completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your servant, Brother Robert. Bless him, Lord. Give him the words of life to share with us. Lord God, you are the word that is alive. And you have provided for us, Lord God, this holy print for us to read and benefit from. We ask, Lord God, your blessings on your servant as he shares. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I have lately been reminded and thinking about the necessity of God's people heeding his voice, hearing his voice, and heeding his voice, especially in these days. There are lots of voices out there to vie for your attention. The winds of culture constantly blowing around and bringing confusion, multiple messages, oftentimes inconsistent, constantly changing, nothing for sure, faddish, the winds of politics that blow. They're constantly extremes from one to the other and cause divisions and wedges, even community and national disunity. There are different philosophies around, and there always will be. Had to take a philosophy class at school and never understood why until I got through the class and realized there are so many different ways to look at life, many different ways to look at the Word of God, many different ways to look at stuff. And we live in a society where everybody's a philosopher. And if you follow after any other philosophy other than what the Lord gives you, you will be confused. And that happens not only in society, but even in the church. There was certainly a need for hearing the voice of God. And I'm convinced that if we will listen and hear with ears that hear, we would find revival taking place in our midst, our personal lives, in our churches, even in this world. But we have to be sold out to hearing God's voice. And that phrase, sold out, means that we have to be completely committed to and not just partially committed. Completely committed to hearing God, knowing God. And I know that there have been some messages over the last year while I've pointed us to the value and the power of the Word of God, and we've looked at the Word of God and what the Word of God is profitable for, how it functions in our midst. But I can never get over how we need to hear God's voice through that. And I want us to spend a little bit of time thinking about that this morning, and that's why I wanted to start in Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of the Bible, the first five verses of that book will be our springboard for this morning. I encourage you to stand with me as we read this word together. Understand that scholars believe the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, were written by Moses as moved by the Lord. So a testimony from God about creation and about other first things. And the first five verses are this way presented to us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning one day. Let's pray together. Our Father, this morning, as we stand in this place, and then as we sit and as we listen, I pray for your Spirit to have freedom to move among us, to carry your word into our inner man. That, Father God, our spirits would hear the witness of the Holy Spirit in our inner being. Father, do that for us this morning. And I pray that these be things be so in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. In looking at the topic for this morning, the voice of God, I felt that it was appropriate to go to the very first book of the Bible and just these first few verses of the Bible and consider what is written here and why God would give this to us. And I'm convinced that these first few verses, in fact, this first few 11 chapters, which have been a matter of debate for scholars over the years, and perhaps the entire book of Genesis is like the capstone of the foundation of our faith. It is what sets the rest of our foundation in order for us to comprehend and understand who God is. And notice that the writer, prompted by the Holy Spirit, believed to be Moses, starts with assumption. In the beginning, God. God created heaven and the earth. There's no explanation of who God is, why he's right, has right to authority, why he is given this story to be able to create. We don't question that. There's no question or any of that made by the writer. It's just assumed God is. He has the right to be God. It is presented as matter of fact that he has authority and power to create and to order all the things that he makes. That God just is God. There is no effort at all to try and explain that. The writer of Hebrews over in near the end of the Bible in the New Testament, Hebrews 11:3, reminds us, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what's seen was not made out of things which are visible. You might say, well, God made animals and man out of dirt. That's visible. But where'd the dirt come from? God made that out of nothing. So essentially, we, even as human beings, are made out of what God created, out of nothing, by his word. And it's by faith that believers trust God at his word, that we trust that he indeed is God. He has right and authority to create and to order things as he desires. These first few words of the Bible, they lay this foundation for trusting everything else that would come after it. If we cannot believe and embrace that which is written in these first few verses and even in this first chapter, then we will have difficulty believing anything else that's in the Bible. And it requires faith. Too often people look at the Bible as a complex work of literature that is beautiful. It has poetic resonance to it. It is beautiful in its history. The stories that it tells are detailed and wonderful. The Bible's more than a work of literature. The Bible is not a book to be compared to other works. It is not a book to supplement something else or to be supplemented by anything else. It stands alone. Is unique in that it is a work of God, and it is the supreme and ultimate source of authority and truth and instruction from God for the people who follow God. In those first few verses, we find these words, God said, and then there was. He first said, let there be light. There was light. He said, let there be an expanse, a distinction between heaven and earth. And there was. Let there be waters. And there were waters. Let there be lights in the heavens. He made lights in the heavens. And then he made living creatures and man. And again, he formed those out of the dust of the earth that he had called into existence by his word. Over and over again, in each of these verses, verse 6, God said, verse 9, God said, verse 11, God said, verse 14, God said, 20, God said, 24, God said, 26, God said, there is God's word in effect bringing things about. Through his imagination and his wisdom, God made all things that we know of that are around us and could be made. Only God. And much of Genesis, not just this first chapter and not just this first book, not just the first half of the book, most of it is God speaking to us. It is God's voice. It is his word. We call the Bible the word of God. And it is, if you follow him and trust him and believe him, it is his word. We must take it as his word. All throughout Genesis, we find God speaking. It sets the tone for our relationship with the Creator, the Redeemer. Even after man fell in his sin, God continued to provide for them and to speak to them when it came time to give the curse to the serpent and to speak to the woman and to speak to the man. God spoke to them. He said, there's going to be a redeemer. He will crush the serpent's head with his heel. He will bruise his heel, but he will crush the serpent's head. Speaking of our redeemer, speaking of the difficulty of childbirth, the difficulty of work and toil, God continued to speak. He banished the couple from the garden, and he gave them barriers. He spoke to them. We find all through the Genesis record, God speaking to Noah. Noah heard the voice of God, build a boat. It's going to be a judgment. And we know for at least 100 years, maybe 120 years, Noah worked on that boat and gave people opportunity to be saved from their sin, from the judgment that was coming. And Noah and his family were the only ones saved in that. But they heard the voice of God. Abraham heard the voice of God to call him out of a pagan nation to become a pure and holy possession for the Lord God. It was the voice of God that made that call. It was the voice of God that called a people to himself. It was the voice of God that got a hold of Moses and said, I've heard the prayers of my people. I've seen their toil. I've heard their agony. And I want you to go now and deliver them. And the voice of God was clear to Moses. He didn't want to do it, but he did it. On and on we could go through the Genesis record and find God speaking to his people. And the result of God's work, his voice, was to bring man into a proper relationship with himself. Even in the songs, we call the Psalms, we find God speaking not just through man, but through his creation. In Psalm 19, the psalm begins this way. The heavens declare the glory of God. Their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Even when we look at creation, God is speaking. If you go and you see a mountain or an ocean side or a sunset or birds singing and flying, the majesty of a hawk or an eagle, a bird that flies in the sky, and you can't think that God made that and you're not thinking of God, something's wrong with you. But I can tell you as a believer by faith, when I look at creation, I hear God's voice. Not audible, but very, very real. God is constantly communicating with his people. In Psalm 29, we find literally the phrase, the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord's on the waters. It's powerful. It's majestic. It breaks the cedars. It makes Lebanon skip like a calf, hews out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord strips the forest bare for the good things and the bad. The voice of the Lord is active in all things. The voice of the Lord did come through men. He spoke through prophets, many of them in the Old Testament, and many of them popular. Some of them weren't so popular. Micaiah, you look at Micaiah, was a very bold prophet. We have the popular prophets of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and then the minor prophets, Hosea, Amos, Joel, Jonah, and on we could go. But each of them hearing the voice of God, and then faithfully declaring that word to God's people for their instruction, sometimes for their warning, sometimes as a rebuke. The word of God was through these servants so that people could hear the voice of God. Isaiah is a very long prophecy. If you could commit to read Isaiah, pray that the Spirit gives you comprehension and read the book of Isaiah, 66 chapters. Very, very difficult, but so instructive. Speaking about a coming Messiah, not just about the judgment that Israel was going to experience, but about a coming judgment and then a coming Messiah and then a kingdom that would be his for his own people. Marvelous. And within that marvelous prophecy, not just Isaiah 53 that speaks about the coming Messiah, but many other messages that the Lord was speaking, not just to his people through the prophet, but sometimes giving us a little bit of an insight to eavesdrop on the communication between the Father and the Son, or the Son testifying of what the Father has given to him, even though he's not yet incarnate. If you have your Bibles, go to Isaiah 49 for just a moment. We're going to look at a few verses, and I'm going to read some of these verses. Isaiah 49, verses 1 to 10 is what I have written down in my notes. We'll not go through every single verse, but I do want you to hear this. Listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me. Now, my Bible, New American Standard Bible, the word me is capitalized. That indicates deity. The deity is saying, the Lord called me. Where? From the womb. From the body of my mother, he named me. This is a clear revelation of Jesus Christ. He's speaking. The prophet's recording that he's speaking. And he's speaking and testifying about what the Father has done and giving him a mission. Not only do the prophets declare the voice of God and what God's about to do, now the Lord himself is speaking through the prophet about the Father to us. Do you not think we ought to give heed and hear the voice of God? Jesus himself says, he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he's concealed me. He has also made me a select arrow. He's hidden me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will show my glory. I said, I've toiled in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing in vanity. Yet surely the justice due to me, the Lord, is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. Isn't this incredible? Jesus testifying of the Father before Christ is ever incarnate here. The Trinity Godhead is very much in view. The Holy Spirit's taking this conversation about God by the Son through the prophet Isaiah. You can't get any more Trinitarian than this. And now says the Lord, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him in order that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. What a testimony. I'm honored in the sight of the Lord God, and my God is my strength. And my God says, it is too small a thing that you, the Lord Jesus, should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore the preserved ones in Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and its Holy One, to the despised one being Christ, the one who would be put on the cross, considered a curse, to the one abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes shall also bow down, because of the Lord who's faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Christ testifying, I've been chosen. The Father testifies, you've been chosen as the Son. And he goes on to say, I will keep you in verse 8, down at the near the end of verse 8, middle of verse 8, I'll keep you and give you for a covenant of the people to restore the land, make them inherit the desolate heritages. We'll jump ahead for just a moment. Go to Isaiah 50. Just a few verses here. 50 verse 4. Again, the Son testifying of the work of the Father. The Lord God has given me, again, capitalized me, the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. The word is not just for us to read and say, ooh, got information. The word is to strengthen. The word is to give us courage. The word is to give us rest. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear. I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me, my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. I did not. This is past tense. Christ is testifying of that which would happen to him in the passion and in the crucifixion before it ever happened. In fact, before he was ever born. What a marvelous testimony. The word of God, of the Lord God, is important for us to embrace and read because God knows everything he's doing. He knows it in eternity, past, present, future. We can simply grasp what is within our time limit. But it's already been established. Gave my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I didn't cover my face from humiliation and spitting, for the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I'm not disgraced. Therefore, I've set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. And he who vindicates me is near. And who is that who vindicates him but the Father? who has a case against me. Let him draw near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Christ Jesus testifying of the love of the Father for him even before he goes in his passion, but he knows he has it. We wonder how Christ could come to the earth and withstand the wickedness of men and then be offered up as a sacrifice on the cross because he knew the joy that was before him, because it had already been established and declared by himself in the Old Testament days through the prophet Isaiah. The voice of the Lord is encouraging. The voice of the Lord gives rest. The voice of the Lord is my strength. And when the time was right, the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, when the time was right, the fulfillment of time had come, God sent his Son, born under the law, that he might deliver those of us who were under the law. What a glorious, glorious truth. And Paul said, when the time was right, the deliverer, the Messiah, came to the world, and God spoke to selected servants before that happened. He spoke through angels. And you can find this recorded in the Gospel of Luke, where the angel met Zacharias in the Holy of Holies as he was doing his priestly duty and spoke to him and said, you're going to have a child, and that son's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah, and he's going to be the one that's the messenger to call people to humble themselves before this Messiah. The angel went and spoke to Mary, the mother of Jesus, who would be the mother of Jesus, and said, you're going to become pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and the child that you're going to bear is going to be the Messiah, and he's going to save his people from their sins. And this one messenger that came was the voice of God for Mary. And that very same voice of God that spoke to Mary went and spoke to her betrothed husband, her engaged husband, who was having doubts about going into marriage with this woman who was pregnant. And he said, take her as your wife, but keep her a virgin until the child is born. He is going to be the Son of God. He's going to save his people from their sins. The very same message, the voice of God confirmed, and Joseph was faithful to that voice. In fact, every time Mary and the child were moved from Israel down to Egypt, the Lord spoke to Joseph in a dream so that he would do that, and then to bring them out of Egypt, back into Israel, and then back up to Nazareth. The Lord spoke to him. He heard the voice of God in his inner man. He followed those instructions. When it was time for Jesus to enter his public ministry, he went to John the Baptist at the Jordan River to be baptized by him. And all the Gospels record the baptism of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, and Luke kind of give a little bit different perspective than John does, but we find the baptism is mentioned there. And in every one of those, minus John's Gospel, we find that the Lord spoke out of a cloud in heaven to confirm, this is my Son with whom I'm well pleased. When Christ came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit said on him, a voice came out of heaven to confirm this, not only for John, but for those around, and in fact for Jesus the Son, who had testified of the Father in the Old Testament through Isaiah, and given us an insight into this communication, this love of the Father. And we were able to be in on that and to see God confirming his Son by his voice out of heaven. John was settled on it, and somewhere in John's Gospel, we find that John said, the Lord told me whoever the Spirit lit up on, that was going to be the Son of God, and that's exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit set upon Jesus, and John had it confirmed in his heart. The Lord spoke to him. The voice of God was clear. And then somewhere near the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, we hear the voice of God again. If you go to the Gospels of Matthew chapter 17, Mark chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, you find that event that we know as the Transfiguration. And it happened because Jesus had spoken a prophecy just 8 days before where he said, there are some of you standing here who will not taste death until you see the kingdom of God, you see the Son of God in his glory. And it so happened 8 days later, he took Peter, James, and John up to a mountain while the rest of the disciples were down in a city. And while they were up on that mountain, Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus and they were talking and they saw him in his glory. And then suggestion was made to build 3 tabernacles for those men. And then a voice came out of the cloud. Do you remember what that said? This is my Son. Listen to him. He's the chosen one. Listen to him. A voice of God spoke. Confirmed Jesus to be the sent one, the one to be listened to. I think of the other biblical reality that is found in the scripture. Jesus was introduced in the Gospel of John as the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us so we could behold the glory of the Father. We could see the representation of God in Christ Jesus, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There was no doubt that the voice of God had come to be in the very presence of man. The voice of God is not just in the written word, it was in the living word, Christ Jesus Himself, identified as the Logos, the Word. God's voice was made very clear in the incarnation of Christ. He was God's representative, and with Him, God was well pleased. According to the gospel, found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the message of salvation that's been delivered to the saints, the beloved Son offered Himself up as a sin offering. And it was by His sinless death upon the cross that Jesus would suffer the wrath of God against man's sin. And He would do so sufficiently all the way through, because when He came to the end of the atonement, He declared, "It is finished." And then He committed His Spirit to the Father. While He was there, we hear Jesus make a comment, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And the fact that He uses the terms God instead of Father give us a little bit better understanding that as He was bearing the sin of the world, He felt a separation He'd never felt before in all of eternity, because He was bearing our sin and our shame and our filth and all of the wickedness that we had. He was bearing that upon Himself. And Paul would write about that and said, God made Him who had no sin to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And for three very quiet, fearful days, Christ Jesus remained absent from the eyes of His disciples and from all of those, even those who had killed Him. But it was according to prophecy that had been declared in the Old Testament and also by Jesus' own words. When He was asked, "What kind of sign can you give us?" Jesus said, "The only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah, who was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, and so will be the Son of Man 3 days and three nights in the ground." And Christ Jesus was raised up by the power of God on that third day. And I believe that by that act of being raised up, God was again speaking to those who have ears to hear and saying, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." He took on your sin that you could not bear, and He bore it Himself. In satisfying my righteous recommendations and requirements, now He is to be raised up. In fact, Christ was exalted to the right hand of the Father. He's been given a name that's above every other name. The Lord in heaven, God the Father, was indeed pleased with His Son, well pleased. The Bible tells us that one day a catching away will take place where all who believe in Christ Jesus and have trusted Him will be taken away. We call it a rapture. The Bible calls it the blessed hope, the catching away, being caught up together with Him in the clouds of the sky. And there are a couple of different places in the scripture. First off, Jesus promised that would happen in John chapter 14 when He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and since I do that, I will come again and receive you to myself so that where I am there you may be also." And oftentimes some have wondered, well, how's He going to do that? Well, God reveals the truth to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. He speaks about resurrection. Christ has been raised up, so all the rest of us will be raised up one day too if we have trusted Christ. And a little later in that very chapter 15 and verse 52, He says, "We will not all die, but we will all be changed, and we'll be raised up to Him in the twinkling of an eye, in an instant, right away, brought up to Christ Jesus." Paul expounds on that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where he says that Christ will come in the clouds of the sky with all those who are dead in Christ, with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then all who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet him in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. There's great comfort in knowing that the Lord is going to call us one day, and that will be because we hear his voice. Just as he cried out and said, Lazarus, come forth, he will be calling for all who belong to him to come forth. The voice of the Lord is to be heeded. That's a future day. And we must heed his voice, not just in the future, but right now. Jesus commanded we watch and pray for that day when he does come. And then in the meantime, we can trust his word, the voice of God, the Bible, which he's left for us. And with all the other information that's bombarding us in the world today, even within the church, it is absolutely necessary that we look to the revelation of himself that he's left to us. Now, some have criticized and said, quit worshiping the Bible. I will not worship the Bible, but I will worship Christ Jesus, who is the Word. And this written revelation for us is not to be bowed down to, but Christ Jesus is. And the truth of that word is to be embraced and believed by those who have ears to hear. And in the church, we must be careful not just to feed off the milk of the word. Make soft Christianity. And you might say, well, that's kind of safe because I don't make anybody mad. I don't offend anybody. You might offend the Lord according to the words that he gives us. He desires for us to eat meat. He desires for us to know him more. In fact, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, the writer of the Hebrews letter gives a warning to those who are Hebrews who had become content with just settling for religion. Verse 12 of chapter 5 in Hebrews, he says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you just the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. Everyone who partakes only of milk's not accustomed to the word of righteousness. He's a baby. But solid food's for the mature who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. That passage of scripture says if you are only drinking milk, you may not be able to discern good and evil. What a danger to be a believer and to only be sucking on the milk when we've been given the rich word of the meat of God to know him better. We need to hear the voice of the Lord. The late Henry Morris, founder of the Institute of Creation Research, wrote these words regarding that chapter, that verse, those verses of Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. He said, such an admonishment is greatly needed today when Christian believers subsist almost entirely on spiritual milk, or even worse, on the froth that passes for evangelical literature in many Sunday schools and Christian bookstores today. We need to get back to the strong meat of the word, lest, according to Isaiah's prophecy in 28 verse 13, he says, lest we fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. There's a great danger. And Isaiah's prophecy, as well as Jeremiah, speaks about backsliding and what a sad condition for believers to be in because they've not embraced the meat of the Lord and his word. The voice of the Lord continues to speak to us today. For those who have ears to hear, he's speaking to you through his word. He will speak to you through faithful Bible preachers and Bible teachers. He will speak to you through faithful believers who engage with you in communication. God is still speaking today. He still speaks through his creation when you look and you can see the power and the might and the wisdom and the imagination of God. But you will find a detailed, comprehensive understanding of God in the Word. Will you understand it all right away? No. The Lord called me to be a preacher in 1991. I don't know how many years that is, but it's a lot of years. I still don't know very much about this book. But I can tell you I know more than I did in 1991. And the Lord's faithful to continue to teach those who seek Him, who look after His Word, and will pray and say, Father, open my ears, let me hear Your voice today. He will give you comprehension and understanding. So seek Him while He may be found. Many claim to be evangelical today, but they boldly scorn anybody that trusts every word of God is pure. Even though Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. In the Psalms, you find Psalm 119 that over and over again talks about the Word of God having been established in eternity and will be there forever. The Word of God never fails. Isaiah said, the grass will wither and the flowers will fade, but the Word of God will stand forever. Jesus said, everything else will pass away, but not one word of the law will pass away until it's accomplished. The Word of God can be trusted. There are a lot of other voices in this world today that cannot be trusted. Guard yourself. Eat meat. Become discerning of knowing what's good and evil. And trust the Lord's Word. I want you to hear this. Psalm 138, verse 2. Write it down, look it up. The psalmist commits to bow down toward your holy temple and to give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word together with your name. God's magnified His word, and the church should be doing that too. We should be embracing the Word of God, and we should be doing that individually, and we should be doing that corporately as a church. If there's somebody sitting here this morning, perhaps you're just curious, you're wanting to know about the Lord, you're wanting to know about truth, you're wanting to know about God, let me tell you, you will never make it to heaven on your own merits. You will fall greatly short of reaching His righteousness. You and I cannot raise ourselves to a level or a standard that will satisfy and please the Lord God. We have to have Jesus as our righteousness. If you are not in Christ Jesus, you will not be found acceptable to the Father in heaven. Christ Jesus took the sins of sinners in exchange for His righteousness, but we have to come to a place where we say, I'm a sinner, and I confess and agree with You, Lord God, that I'm a sinner, and I need a rescuer, I need someone to save me, and Jesus Christ is the one that the Father sent to do just that. Outside of Christ, there's no other. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. The apostles preached, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only hope, and I pray, I implore you today, if you're hearing the Lord speak to you, your inner man is disturbed. It's more than a feeling, it's an inner sense, it's an understanding. I am in the wrong place. I'm not right with God. That should bring a holy fear to you to say, I need Jesus and I need Him now, and cry out to Him. He has promised, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead and you shall be saved. And then start eating some meat. The Word of God. Hear His Word as He speaks to you through this. Hear His voice as He speaks to you through the truth of His Word. And grow in your faith. Do not be content to settle for less than knowing Him as good as you can. Jesus told a parable of the talents. And He left some resources for people. And He went away for a season. He came back. And He was going to get an account of all those things. And some took five talents from the master and they made five more. And they were able to give the Lord 10 talents back. And one had 3 and he was able to make more and he gave that to his master. One had only 1 and he said, well, I don't want to mess this up. So he goes and hides it somewhere. Doesn't even put it in a bank to make interest. And when he comes back, the master says, you've been unfaithful. You did nothing with this I gave you. So take it away from him and give it to the ones who have, and cast him away. Don't settle for less than Christ Jesus and what you can give him. He doesn't demand anything from us except our all. I'm not going to make this easy Christianity. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you got to take up my cross daily and you have to follow me. You have to deny yourself. Just to say take up the cross means you got to die. In another place, he says, you have to love me more than you love your mom and daddy. You got to love me more than you love your brothers and sisters. You got to love me more than you love your children, more than you love your job. And I guarantee you, when we love him right, he'll make us to love the other things that are important right. Jesus calls us to know him, the one true God who came in flesh. And he speaks to us every moment of every day. Do we have ears to hear? Let's pray. Father, you're holy God. You're in heaven. And here I am on earth. Lord, let my words be few. Help me to trust you. Grant to me faith. Give me discernment. Father, I pray for a fullness of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you help me to grow and to know you more and to comprehend and understand the things that are written in your word and then to live by them. Lord God, to let that truth be applied to life, to know that even when I find instruction and encouragement and comfort in that word, there are times when I find discomfort. There are times when I'm disheveled in my inner man because I'm not aligned with the truth of your word. Father, thank you for conviction. Help us, Father, to be a people who, when we hear your voice, we fear you, but we know that fear is out of love that you have for us to know you more. Father God, may we respond to you in this moment of our worship, to respond to you in a way that honors your name, so that one day we can hear you say about us what you did about your son. I'm well pleased with you. Well done. Father, move us from where we are to where you want us to be. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together as we have opportunity to respond. Brother Joe will lead us.
Number 294, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Have Thine Own Way.
Father, you're good. Your loving kindness endures forever. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And Father God, may we find it in our hearts. We thank you for the indescribable gift that you give us in Christ Jesus and access to the truth of your word, your voice. And give us ears to hear. Even as we prepare to depart this place, Father, that you'd be speaking to us through this day and in the coming week and this year. Father God, may we heed your voice. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. We have church conference tonight and hope to see you then, Brother Joe.
As we go, we'll sing as we go.
As we go, may your Spirit go before us. As we go, may we follow where you lead. May we live what we have heard, share the message we have heard, and be a light unto the world as we go.
Be blessed.